Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's begin today. We'll read from the book of Galatians chapter 5. We'll use that one to start. And we're going to continue what we have been talking about, the fruit of your life, which is a continuation of the purpose of life that we're speaking about. We've been speaking about that for some weeks now. I'll read from verse 22. It said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things," he says, "there is no law." My emphasis here is the word, the fruit, or the phrase, "the fruit of the Spirit." Now, what that means is that there are different force fields in life. If you sow into the realm of the Spirit, because you see in other portions of this Galatians chapter 5 into verse, chapter 6, you see Paul talking about it, that if you sow into the realm of the Spirit, there is what you reap. And if you sow into the realm of the flesh, there is what you reap. So when he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he was saying the fruit, the product of sowing appropriately in life, the product of sowing to the Spirit as against sowing to the flesh is what he's talking about. And we have said again and again that the Bible says the seed is the word of God. A few episodes ago, I explained the issue of what somebody desires, starting from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. It said, "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." That is, if somebody sows the word of God, and that's a proper way to sow into the realm of the Spirit, what he will get is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all of those things. And we read last time from the book of Luke, chapter 13, that the Lord was giving us a parable that after 3 years of occupying ground, after 3 years of using up natural resources, after 3 years, a number of years of using up spiritual resources, the master has the right to come and demand fruit. And we said that there are two kinds of fruits that he's looking for. The first one is what we call the moral fruit or the personal fruit, something that has to do with your moral excellence. And that's what he's pointing out to us here in the book of Galatians chapter 5, that if we sow appropriately to the Spirit, we will experience the fruit, all right? It will come out of our lives, and that is how we know that indeed we are children of God or the disciples of Christ Jesus indeed. I emphasize the fact that being a disciple of Christ Jesus does not mean that I go to church. No. It means that if I go to church, outside, somebody will know that I went to church. I do not have to give my identity and give the name of my church and give the address or the name of the general overseer over our assembly as a way of proving that indeed I am a disciple of Christ Jesus. No. But if indeed I am his disciple, I will bear fruit in my life. The word of God will be inside me. And Jesus said to us that that is how we abide in him. That is how, that's John chapter 15. That's how we abide in him, is by his words abiding in us. And if we abide in him, we'll be able to bear fruit. Don't forget, that first set of fruits is that of moral excellence that becomes evident in our lives. The proof that we have been working with God closely is the amount of improvement that our personalities and our characters are experiencing. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how hard you claim to be going to church, no matter how hard you claim to be working for God, if your personal character, there is no improvement in your moral excellence, then you have been wasting your time. Very important. The Lord comes to check the fruit that is coming out of our lives. And we have already dispensed about that. That's number one fruit. But we said it's a second kind of fruit that he's seeking. Very important. And that's the fact that he sent each person, I said last time, to this earth to come and fulfill a particular purpose. The emphasis I laid, which I like to lay it all the time. If I say it 10,000 times, I will not get tired of saying it. The emphasis is the fact that it is not only those who preach that are working for God. One day I was having a discussion with somebody, and we were just discussing, you know. Now, I'm not trying to talk about that doctrine now, but this is just what came out of it. Was one of my chiefs. And I said that, they were talking about why should a pastor drive a very nice car, that kind of thing. So I now accused the person, where I turned argument on my chief. I said, "You don't you want to drive a very nice car?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, so what's wrong with the pastor driving a nice one?" He said, "He's working for God." I said, "Who are you working for?" He said, "I'm working for myself." I started laughing. I had to laugh because it was such an absurd concept to me that a Christian should say, "I am working for myself." As a Christian, you are not working for yourself. If you want to know it, go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One scripture you see there, which is very interesting, is in verse 15. It says, he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Please notice that. He died for all, not for preachers. He died for all, not for pastors. He died for all, not for evangelists. He died for all, not for apostles and general overseers alone. He died for all, so that all, every one of them, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, every one of them who live should no longer live for themselves. That is, every moment of their lives, they are living for him. That they should live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. There is no Christian that is not working for God unless he's an unprofitable and an unfaithful servant. Do you understand my point? Where he's working is irrelevant. He can be a policeman. He's a policeman for Christ. One mistake Christians make a lot, I need to make that emphasis so that Christians will be corrected. One mistake they make, they think that they go to work so as to work, are you getting me? And earn money to do the work of God. Let me say that again. A Christian goes to work, he thinks the reason why he's going to work is so that he can earn money to do the work of God. He doesn't understand that the work he's doing is the work of God. It is not what you do with the money that is the work of God. No, it is the work itself that is the work of God. Christians make that mistake. They think that, I'm just working in this place so that I can have money to do the work of God. One day I heard a man saying, he was preaching about dedication to Christianity and to the work of God and all of that. And I think the message was very, very powerful. And a man came up to him afterwards and said that, now please follow what I want to say, because this really happened. And this big man had finished preaching. This man came up to him and said, sir, that message you preached was so powerful. It touched me very greatly. That, in fact, I've made up my mind. I am going to serve God with all my heart, my whole life. So the man speaking said he decided to test the man. Listen to this. He said, he now told him that, that's very good, that's very good. Please, this is your car. Now listen to this. This is your car. Can we borrow it tomorrow? We have some work we have to do in the church. And the man answered and said to him, sir, but that is a car I use for my business. Now listen to this. He now said that, he said, he laughed and said, this one is not yet ready to serve God. He's not yet ready to fully commit. And I felt like going into the tape recorder from which I was listening. He says, excuse me, sir. The man said he's ready to serve God. He didn't say he's ready to serve your church. There's a world of difference. You assume that what you have to do in church is more important than the business he's running. That is because, you see, I've been saying it again and again. That's part of idolatry we practice. We think if that man went to work next day and said, sorry guys, no business. Assume he's a taxi driver. No business today, nothing. Or in his office, they move things around. We can't move anything. Why? Because we have sent the car to church. Now listen to me. Let me clarify this. I'm not saying there will be no circumstance under which you do that. It's possible. But I want to get a concept right in our hearts. If the man said, I've sent it to church, everybody generally agrees that, the car has gone to do the work of God. So I ask a simple question. When the car comes back here, what work is he doing? Is that doing his personal work or doing the work of the devil? Make up your mind. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen. Then I said, no, a man can be committed and say to you, this is the car I use for my business. Because it is possible that for him, that business is the work of God. And it should be if indeed he's a Christian. Are you getting my point? Please, get me right. I'm not trying to say that somebody can't decide that, well, there's something important to do. I mean, I have given my car off to something that's happening in church. And I said, I will take a taxi. Are you getting my point? I will take a bus. It is possible. But it is not because I feel that my life is not the work of God. The one I say all the time, and I like to say because Christians must be corrected. You know, as believers, we must learn how to think and think the way God expects us to think. People, sometimes, somebody will tell me that, listen, I don't take the work of God lightly. Even if I have to use my children's school fees, I will use it. And I understand what they are trying to say. But I want to remind them that paying children's school fees is the work of God. So if you don't pay it, you have taken another aspect of the work of God lightly. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You see, what I'm trying to put in our minds as Christians is that, look, there is nothing like I'm working for God here. There are times, I've heard people say before, say, after all God has done for me in life, what have I done for him? So they go to Bible school. What are they waiting for? Promotion, deacon. What are they waiting for? Promotion, pastor. Then when he has been promoted to the rank of pastor, he said, now we have begun to do the work of God. Listen, I must say this to Christians. The pastor is not more doing the work of God than the man he's preaching to.
Are you getting my point? For the pastor, the preaching to that man is his own work of God. For that man, the execution of government projects under his care properly is his own work of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Very crucial. Because, you know, I've said this again and again, and I will continue to say it until everybody believes it. When God wants to check your performance on the day of judgment, he will not, one thing he will not check is how many times you went to church. One thing he will never ask you about is how many prayer vigils did you attend. Trust me, he will not even ask you how much sin did you commit. What will he ask you? It is simple. The assignment I gave to you, how well did you do it? That's it. Each person was created, I said to us last time, to fulfill a particular purpose. Each person was created to describe the character of God. I said to us, when I was discussing last time, that Solomon was created. You saw his life. He showed us what heaven will be like, all right, when it comes to governance. Something close to it. He showed us what it will be like for a godly man to be in office, operating with the wisdom of God. He caused the land to prosper so much that the thieves would not even bother to steal silver. It was not worth their while. Like I say all the time, you know, because if you know the kind of person God is, he's not wasteful. When Solomon built the temple of Solomon, that great temple that the whole world knew about, one thing was striking. You notice something? He built his own house, which was also very glorious. And I said, notice something, if you look very close, if you know how to read between the lines, those were not the only two buildings like that in Israel. It's what the Bible calls princes. Not, I don't mean his own children, now, that is, those who ruled with him. They built houses like that. They all prospered. It was a common thing in Israel. Are you getting my point? That was a sign of what divine character is like in governance. Somebody else has to define divine character in education. Somebody else has to define divine character in law enforcement. Somebody else has to define divine character in broadcasting. Somebody else has to define divine character, all right, when it comes to entertainment. And each one of them is judged according to how much they did that. Are you getting the point I'm making? I like to emphasize that. People make it look as if, oh, what are you doing for God? I said, the place where I work, what do you think I'm doing there? I don't know whether you get my point. Sometimes we sit down and say, okay, you have to check yourself. What have you done for God? Listen, if you have to think like that, you are not yet thoroughly working with God yet. Because your very stepping out of your house should be a stepping out for God. Are you getting my point? The very when you drive on the road, you should be driving unto the Lord. Because the Bible says you must serve your master. If you are walking somewhere, as unto the Lord. Not as if I went there, I served, I earned money. Then I now brought the money. I said, how do I serve God with this money? How do I serve God? And that's why a lot of Christians are thoroughly irresponsible at work. They don't have the testimony that they are Christians at work. They don't have it in their businesses. A brother was saying to me at that time that where he does business in Abuja, the testimony is that it is better to do business with an alaji than a man who calls himself a pastor. He said, some of the boys he's angry with, when he's seen some big men, he will see these boys around the big men, and they are owing him 8 million naira. Senior pastor, apostle, you know. They are owing him 8 million, and no alaji is owing him anything. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So a lot of us, as Christians, we don't have a test. That is, if we don't open our mouths and say we are Christians, nobody will realize it. That the only thing that can show that we are believers is that we said so. This is what I'm making. Even if you are there teaching, there should be something about your life that shows that you are a believer. I've heard testimonies. People tell me that. If that one is a Christian too, don't worry, I won't bother. And like I said the last time, Mahatma Gandhi said, I would have been a Christian except that I met a Christian. Now, let me not sit on the matter of our moral side. Now, I'm talking about our work. That's what I'm trying to talk about, the work that we do. When I'm plotting my business, listen, the design of the business is work for God. I must give, listen to this, I must give as much attention and as much prayer and study of the word. I must input all of that into that plotting of my business as if I want to build a church. Do you get my point? It's a normal thing for pastors to gather and say, praise the Lord. And brethren understand that this pastor will call their brethren. We are going to pray. And God will show us where we are going to buy land for this church. Abi? And all of us, it makes sense to us. We will pray and God will show us how to get money. We actually think, I mean, to us, it is good. Except that, this is where my problem is. We'll not get back home. Our businesses will need a new place of business. We don't remember to use the same tactics that the pastor used in church. We now pick phone and be making phone calls and begging. We'll go from one bank to the other. I beg now, may I help me now. But if it is church, we can boldly say, no, we're going to pray. God is a supplier. And everybody shouts amen. Listen, this is what I'm preaching. That same method that you used to pray, that the church building may be built. Listen, if you're a manufacturer, use that same method. The same God that built a church building will build you a factory. Do you get my point? The same God that built a church building will build you a business. The same God, you know, there are different ways by which things operate. Because, you see, that's what the mistake a lot of us make. We think, now please, we listen to this again carefully. Now, as a pastor, I say, oh, we need a lot of money in the ministry. And then I pray. And then one day somebody comes, man of God, God said I should sow this seed towards this work that's going on. And he gives me $500,000, and it's a testimony. You get my point? And another person comes, this is 100,000, 1 million. And then we have all the money we need to do the work we are doing. And praise God, everybody rejoices knowing that that is God working. Now, you see, let me say this to you quickly. Many people go out, they go to church, they sow a seed towards getting financial breakthrough. And in their mind, now this man, like I always like to say, is an engineer. And in his mind, he's waiting for somebody to give him an offering of 1 million. Listen, nobody is giving you any offering. Do you know why? You are not a church. You're not a ministry. You're not the ministry of the word. Are you getting my point? But the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. But he may use different methods. Like Paul said, there are diversities of manifestations. But it's the same spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? So I pray as an engineer, as a manufacturer, all right? As somebody trying to build a school, I may not get somebody to come and say, this is a seed, take for this work. But that same God will still supply the resources needed through another method. For example, God can give me an idea. I develop a new product and the whole world starts buying it. We think God only gives offerings. Are you getting my point? And like I say all the time, the reason is because we pastors are the ones that preach. And that is what it's supposed to be. But when we are giving testimonies, because the pastor is not supposed to be raising money through buying and selling to fund the work of the ministry, the people of God are actually supposed to contribute that freely. That's divine order. I'm not talking about that now. So we end up telling stories that appear as if that's the only way by which God supplies. So the man waiting for an offering of 2 million, God doesn't give it to him. But every day people are coming with business ideas for him. But he's not pursuing it because he's waiting. He's waiting for when God will drop that money, boom, in his pocket. And listen, let me tell you something. People say sincerity is what matters. Sincerity is the first thing that matters. Being right is next. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are wrong and you are sincere, God will not bless your error. He will send you correction as his blessing for your sincerity. So listen now, I'm correcting you. Everybody listening out there. Because I know a lot of Christians, they have sown seeds. Later on, we'll talk about how to sow proper financial seeds. God, this is towards my breakthrough. God, this is towards my getting married. God, this is towards my new car. Listen, number one, I don't want to sit on it. You cannot even do that. All those money you give towards it, they don't produce anything, all right? We're not going into that now. But God saw your heart. It is prayer you prayed, amen? And he answers prayers. Whether you like, if you like, add money to the prayer. If you like, don't add money to it. The prayer will still be answered. And don't give the glory to the money you added to it in case it is answered. Those who did not add money to it also, they see God their answer. It is God that answers. It is not money that answers. Amen? The Lord is good. I hope you understood what I said. I'm just trying to emphasize something, all right? Now, having said that, a lot of people have done all the things. They have prayed their prayers, and God is waiting with an answer. But the problem is that they don't understand how the answer of God will come. Sometimes, the person will say, this year I'm going to get married. God said, listen, I agree with you, but change this dress you are wearing. I don't know why you're getting my point. I guess that word is for somebody. I don't know why I said it. But somebody says that, this year I'm going to get this amount of money. God said, listen, this work you are doing, go to work on time. I am not going to send you an offering. I am going to bring you connections while you are doing your work. I am going to give you contracts. You get my point? That will give you the opportunity to showcase your skill. I am going to give you opportunities to demonstrate your ability. This way you are sitting waiting for somebody to give you an offering. Nobody's giving you anything. Do you follow my point? So the answer of God for such an individual, God says, go to work. The first business you get, the first job you get, the first contract you get, do it very well, though you will not make much money. You will get a contract for 1 million naira. You will spend 950,000 on it. After many weeks, you will make only 50,000. But don't worry about it. Do it as unto the Lord. Like I said the other time, he said, occupy with this until I come. That is, there is a day that is called the coming of the Lord. Until that day, you are just simply being checked by how faithful you are in what you have been given to occupy. Please let me not leave my emphasis for today. And what is my emphasis? That the work of God for most Christians is in that work they are doing outside. It is not the one they come to church to do. Do you understand the point I'm making? And when God is checking the fruits of their lives, that is where he is going to mark it from. I know I've been sitting on this for a while, but it's very important. It is very important. I said to us, you see, the Bible says something. We'll develop it again. We'll continue from this point next time, all right? But let me just quickly introduce it. It said that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord, I'm paraphrasing now, and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. I remember what I said at the beginning, that each person is supposed to demonstrate, all right, the character of God in different areas. And this is the point I'm making. Each of those areas is what the Bible calls the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. And God must reign in each of those areas. Let me tell you what righteousness is. Righteousness, of course, there's a stamp of approval that God gives to you, which is called righteousness. But when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, this was what he meant. That word righteousness there describes the method, the procedure by which things are supposed to be done. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? When it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it means there is righteousness in politics. And I don't mean righteousness of, before we have start this assembly meeting, we must praise. We must bring a praise minister to come and sing praises before we start. That's not what I mean. I mean, there is an order by which things are supposed to be done, which whether you're a Christian or not, if you break that order, you will not get the blessing of God. I'll explain what I'm going to say. Now, I'll tell the stories of two people, all right, which I have used again and again. And because it was so instructive when I read their stories. The first one is Henry Ford. Now, today, a car is, well, for many of us who don't have, it may sound like a big deal, but in the society, a car is not a big deal. There are expensive cars that go for £250,000 for one, like a Rolls Royce. And there, if you go, there's one tiny vehicle like this that hardly hits a million naira in price, brand new. They have a very wide range. There are Tokumbo cars that go for much less than that. What I'm trying to say is that an average person thinks about buying a car. And it's not a fantastic deal. But the only reason why it's like that was because a man was born and his name was Henry Ford. That's the only reason why it is like that today. Because before him, nobody thought like that. It was only, this was many of course, over 100 years ago. It was only the very rich. Because those who were making it said that it is only for rich people. That they are the only ones that have money that will be able to buy the cars. Therefore, let us make cars for the rich. And the cars were expensive. But he was also in the business. And he was watching. And he said, no, this is not the order. But this one I want to bring out, because I'll talk about him next time. We'll continue to develop the story. He said the success of the Ford Motor Company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. He said it's about an idea. It's about a principle of doing business. He said the success of that company is to show to everybody that my idea is correct and their own is wrong. Are you getting my point? That idea is called the righteousness of God in manufacturing. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, I said to us last time, what Jesus came to do, one of the important things he did for us was to reconcile us to the Father so that we can understand and perform the will of God for our individual lives. He didn't come just to forgive us of our sins and that's it, you are forgiven, or don't do it again, I'm going. No. It's that now you have been forgiven, I will help you understand why you were born. Now that you have been forgiven, there's no hindrance, because you see, the devil, what he does, you know, later I'll talk about it again. The devil doesn't have a quarter, what is it? He doesn't have 1% of the power people think he has. The only thing he tries to do is to distract people. What he tries to do is to retard their progress in their walk with God. And sometimes his presence is a distraction for a lot of people. People spend all night fighting their personal devils. It's unnecessary. What am I going to explain? See, the Lord Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, to remove the hold that the devil has on us so that we can pursue and execute effectively the will of God. And that is in demonstrating his righteousness in another aspect or in different aspects of life as God may have called us into. I hope you've gotten my point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng, or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.